بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد آتينا داود وسليمان علما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that surely we gave knowledge to Dawood and Sulaiman. Obviously this special knowledge, it was referring to the knowledge that is normally given to the prophets about their functions and obligations as prophets. So it was some special knowledge that was endowed to both Sulaiman and Dawood. And apart from this, Dawood alayhi salam, the father of Sulaiman, he was also given the art of making armor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this in the Quran, that this was his profession. And when you study the lives of the Anbiya, you will find that every Nabi had some profession. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted every Nabi to work, to be a professional in a certain field or in a certain science. If you look at Nuh alayhi salam, he was a carpenter. You look at Dawood alayhi salam, he was a blacksmith. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a businessman. So every Nabi, and this shows the importance of earning and working for your halal income. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that it is a farida ba'd al-farida. To earn halal and to work hard to earn your halal is an obligatory act after your other obligatory acts. Meaning after salah, after your zakah, after your fasting, after your hajj, after these obligatory acts, there are other obligatory acts, and one of them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is to earn halal income. Now Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam, they enjoyed a special position amongst the other prophets, and that is that they were also bestowed with empire along with prophethood. You find the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with prophethood, but they were not blessed with empire, they were not blessed with kingdom, they were not blessed with authority. And this was the special position endowed to both Sulaiman and Dawood alayhi salam, that along with this great and high station of prophethood, along with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them empire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then spoke, and we spoke about the gratitude that they had expressed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ilm, for the knowledge and for the sciences which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught them. وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, and they said, Alhamdulillah. Praise belongs to Allah. الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, who made us excel many of his believing slaves in the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُودَ, Allah says, and Sulaiman, he inherited Dawood. He inherited the qualities of Dawood alayhi salam, the wisdom of Dawood alayhi salam, the prophethood of Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عُلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ, they would say to the people, they would speak about the favors that Allah had bestowed upon them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with prophethood, Allah has blessed them with knowledge, Allah has blessed them with wisdom, Allah ta'ala has blessed them with powers that other humans were not blessed with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they would say to the people, O people, we have been taught the speech of birds. عُلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us from this verse, and we learn that these creatures that we see and the birds that we observe, they also have some form of communication. They have some form of communicating with each other and conveying messages to each other. And Sulaiman and Dawood, they would tell the people, Allah speaks of it in the Quran, that, O people, we have been taught the speech of birds. Allah has blessed us with this favor, that when birds would communicate, imagine that Dawood and Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam, they could understand the communication of these creatures. وَأُوتِينَا مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, and they would say to the people, and we have been given of everything. There's nothing that Allah has deprived us of. There's nothing that Allah has deprived us of. He has given us everything of this world. Whatever we asked for in this world, from the material things of this world, so long as it was lawful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with it. From this we learn that we should speak of Allah's favors upon us. Speak of Allah. Allah says in Surah Wad-Duha, when you look at the end of Surah Wad-Duha, Allah says, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. What does hadith mean? Speak. Speak about what? وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ, the bounties that Allah has favored upon you. Speak about these bounties. Speak about these bounties, mention them. Don't only mention your troubles in life. Don't only speak of the negative things in your life and the calamities that have befallen your life. Also speak of the good which Allah has blessed upon you. Allah would love to see that you speak about the favors that Allah has blessed you with. Allah has been so kind. Allah has blessed me with this. Allah has blessed me with that. Allah has blessed us with this. This Allah loves. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. But you will only speak about the favors that Allah has blessed you with to such a person who will not harbor jealousy against you. Somebody who will not become envious of you. Somebody who will not now harbor ill feelings towards you because of the bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, Ista'inu ala qada'i hawa'ijikum bil qitman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, go about doing your work, concluding your affairs. You got major plans in life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, carry on with it. You are embarking on a certain project. You have a big plan in your mind. You are undertaking a special journey or whatever it may be. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do it bil kitman. Do it quietly. Go ahead with your affairs quietly. Don't make a big hoo-ha about it. And there's no need to broadcast it. And there's no need to every now and again update your profile status on social media, telling the world what you are doing and what you are planning, what you are eating. What we are eating also. To that extent we have gone. What food we are eating. That also the world must come to know that this is what I have eaten. This is what I have eaten. This is where I am. This is how I am holidaying. This is how I am enjoying myself. So Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, all these private affairs of yours, keep them private. إِسْتَعِينُوا عَلَىٰ قَضَاءِ حَوَائِجِكُمْ بِالْكِتْمَانِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ. Because the possessor of a bounty is a target of jealousy. A possessor of a bounty is a target of jealousy. So we should speak about the bounties that Allah has blessed upon us, but to such a person who will not harbor jealousy towards you. And number two, do not speak about a certain bounty that Allah has blessed you with, and you know the next person has been deprived of it. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know the person has been deprived of this bounty. Do not go about gloating about the bounty that you enjoy and that person has been deprived upon it. So two people you should not mention your bounties before. The one who has been deprived of that bounty, and number two, the one who will harbor jealousy towards you because of that bounty that you enjoy. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينَ. So what do they say? وَأُوتِينَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We have been given of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even taught us the communication of birds and animals and creatures. And what do they say? إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينَ. But what do they say at the end? Indeed, this is the evident grace of Allah. They attributed it to Allah. It's got nothing to do with our acumen, with our planning, with our resources, with our intellect. It's got nothing to do with that. All this has been given to us through the grace of Allah. We spoke of this previously. Attribute your every achievement to Allah. But look at Qarun. What Allah gave Qarun? Allah gave Qarun such wealth, such abundant wealth. We listened to it was recited in the Taraweeh Salah this evening, that just the keys that were that you were used to open the treasures, Allah says, لَتَنُوءُ بِعُصْبَ. A big group of people had to carry the keys. Imagine how many vaults and how many safes and how many these type of places that he had where his wealth and treasures were kept. But what did he say? When he came out and people were like impressed, wow, Qarun, wow, what an amazing vehicle you have. What a wonderful business you have. What a beautiful palace you have. What did he say? إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. All of this is because of my knowledge, my position, my acumen, my intellect, my resources. And look at how what Dawood and Sulaiman said. What did they say? إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينَ. All this is the grace of Allah. When Qarun made that statement, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ, Allah says, فَخَسَفْنَا وَبِدَارِ. Allah says, we instructed the earth to sink, to swallow him up, and his entire empire was gone. Why? He attributed it to himself. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. The best, you know, Allah subhanahu says, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ. Every ni'mah that you enjoy, every bounty that you enjoy, it comes to you only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we are learning how to pray to Allah when we are enjoying Allah's bounties, we are living a life of prosperity, your business is flourishing, your marriage is flourishing, and your life is flourishing, alhamdulillah, you are comfortable. This is how we learn, this is how our reaction should be, and this is how we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by constantly thanking Allah, remembering Allah, uttering the praise, alhamdulillah, 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 all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, the best way to keep a bounty preserved. Many a times you find people asking that what is the best dua we must read to protect our investments, to protect our belongings, to protect our vehicles, protect our home. The best way to earn the divine protection of Allah is through shukr, by thanking Allah for the bounty. One is you ask Allah for protection. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. These du'as, we read them for protecting whatever belongings that we have. But the best and most effective way to keep everything you have protected is by making shukr and attributing that to Allah and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that bounty. Allah will never take that bounty away from you. In fact, Allah will only give you more of what you have. Allah says, وَحُشِرَ لِسُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالطَّيْرِ. Allah says, for Sulaiman, his forces were gathered for him. This was once Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was traveling. And when he was traveling, Allah gathered his forces for him. What were the forces of Sulaiman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in his forces from amongst the jinn, the humans and the birds. What an army. Sulaiman alayhi salam is moving. He's at the helm of the army. He's right at the front, he's leading the army. Behind him, you have humans following him. They are creatures that are under the command of Sulaiman. They are birds under the command of Sulaiman, and jinn kind as well. They all form part of his army and his forces, and they are moving, traveling towards a certain place. As they were moving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْ عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ. Before that, Allah says, for whom yuza'un, for whom yuza'un. So all of them were kept under his control, under the control of Sulaiman. What power, subhanAllah. All these creatures of the world, the jinn, the humans, were all kept under the control and the power of Sulaiman alayhi salam. As they were moving along, and he was moving with his forces, and he was moving with this army of his, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hatta idha ataw ala wadin naml, until when they reached the valley of the ends. As they appeared and they came to a certain place, a certain valley, and there were many ants and colonies of ants that were residing in that area. So when they came close to Wadun Naml, Naml means ants, and there's a surah named in the Quran after the ant. This ant, we will understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it such a special position that a chapter of the Quran was named after an ant. Can you imagine? Subhanallah, what did this ant do that earned this ant such honor and such position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that up to this day in the Quran we read about this ant. We read about this ant every Ramadan, we are making khatam upon khatam, and we read about this little significant insect, the ant, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. So when they came and they reached the valley of the ants, qalat namla, one of the ants, the ants were moving and they were crossing the path of Sulaiman alayhi salam and the army of Sulaiman. So one of the ants, Allah says, one of the ants, what did it say? Ya ayyuhan naml, udkhulu masakinakum. One of the ants, it turned to all the other ants, and what did it say to them? Enter your dwelling places, quickly. Go into your houses, quickly. Go into your dwelling places, quickly. Go into your homes. Let us clear the area. Why? La yahtimannakum Sulaiman wa jududuh wa hum la yash'urun. The ant tells and communicates to the other ants. What does it say? So that Sulaiman and his armies do not crush you unknowingly. Quickly move out of this area, so that Sulaiman is coming, the Nabi of Allah is coming, and him and his armies will crush you to death if you do not move out of the way. From this we learn that because of the concern that this one ant had for the entire colony, because of that fikr and that concern that it showed, Allah loved that attribute so much. The concern that you have for your people, the concern that you have for those around you, that concern is what earned the ant this great position that today it is mentioned in the Quran. fikr, the concern that it had for the others, for their safety, for their security, for their comfort. And because of this concern that the ant had for others, similarly we also are taught by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, especially during the month of Ramadan, to develop this attribute of concern, love and caring for others. When Sulaiman alayhi salam heard this, he was so impressed by the bounty that Allah had blessed upon him. فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِنْ قَوْلِهَا So he smiled, laughing at her speech. When he heard the ant saying this, Allah says first he smiled, and then he laughed at the speech of this ant, and then he paused for a moment, and he reflected over what a great bounty Allah bestowed upon him. And now we come to the dua. When you come, sometimes in your life you realize, Allahu Akbar, you know, sometimes you just think about a certain bounty and you pause for a moment and you say, how kind Allah was to me for blessing me with this ni'mah. How kind Allah was for blessing me with this great bounty. And I think at the forefront of all the bounties that we enjoy is the bounty of Iman. Is the bounty of Iman. And that is something that we think about all the time, especially during the month of Ramadan, when our Iman is energized by reading the Quran, by listening to the Quran, by fasting. Sometimes you sit and you just think to yourself that, Alhamdulillah, where would I have been if I was not blessed with Iman? Would I have experienced Ramadan? How would I have enjoyed this fast? How would I have enjoyed the kalam of Allah? How would I have enjoyed salah had I not been blessed with iman? So sometimes in your life, sometimes during the day, sometimes when you have achieved something in life and you have succeeded, that thought comes to your mind where you think of Allah, that this ni'mah comes to me from Allah. This is what happened to Sulaiman alayhi salam at that point. When he heard and he understood the communication between these small tiny creatures, there he paused and he made a very beautiful, wonderful dua that you and I should make when we are in that type of a situation. He says, قَالَ رَبِّ He says, O my Rabb, O my Rabb, أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْأَمْتَ عَلَيَّ O my Allah, enable me that I become grateful to your favor that you have bestowed upon me and on my parents. Ask, shukr also comes from Allah. The ability to thank Allah for the bounty, that ability to thank Allah for the bounty, that ability also comes from Allah. Allahu Akbar. The bounty comes from Allah, then the ability to thank Allah for that bounty and appreciate that bounty from Allah, that ability also comes from Allah. So look at the dua that he says. Beautiful. He says, O Allah, number one, is enable me that I, let me, O Allah, make me appreciative for every bounty that I enjoy. Enable me, help me, assist me to be grateful for the favor that you have bestowed on me and that you have bestowed on my parents. What do you understand? If there's somebody close to you who has bestowed with a ni'mah, thank Allah for allowing your son, your daughter, your parent to enjoy the bounty as well. Your son has achieved, your daughter has achieved, your parent has achieved or succeeded in something, then also what do we learn? O Allah, allow me to thank you and to be grateful for the bounty that you have blessed me with and that you have blessed my child with, you have blessed my parents with, you have blessed my daughter with. And this is very important, the dua that we make, that Allah gives us the ability to always make shukr. Allah must always give us the ability to make shukr. That's why once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took a hand of a sahabi, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there's one dua you must make after every salah. What is that dua? Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma a'inni. Oh Allah, help me. Help me to always remember you ala dhikrika wa shukrik. Oh Allah, help me to always make your shukr. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, after every salah, he told his sahabi, do not ever abandon this dua. Always ask Allah to give you the ability to be thankful, to give you the ability to be grateful, to give you the ability to be appreciative. It's such a wonderful and great quality to always be appreciative to Allah and to thank Allah. One is to thank, one is to appreciate. There's a difference between the two. One is to thank somebody for something, but one is the deep appreciation within you that humbles you. Humbles you. Allah blessed you with this bounty, and if you are so appreciative for the bounty that you feel you do not deserve it, and therefore you are humbled by that great honor that Allah has given you by allowing you to enjoy that ni'mah. So this is the humility that Sulaiman alayhi salam expresses here. That, oh Allah, give me the strength and enable me to become grateful to your favor that you have bestowed on me and on my parents. An'amta alayya wa ala walidayya. وَأَدْخِلْنِي وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ And then what does he ask Allah? Look, he goes on with the dua. And oh Allah, and that I do the good deeds that you like. keep me on good deeds, keep me on amal salihah. You see, how many a times you find a person, because of the prosperity that he enjoys and because of the comfortable life that the person enjoys, the person does not tire himself in good deeds. Because he's comfortable, everything is, alhamdulillah, going well for him in life. So it's more difficult to worship Allah in ease than it is to worship Allah in difficulty. It's way, way more difficult to worship Allah in ease than to worship Allah in difficulty. In difficulty, you are forced now to turn to Allah. But in ease and comfort, when everything seems fine and well, it is difficult to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why he says, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَىٰ. And oh Allah, give me the ability to do throughout my life, to do such good deeds, tarda, that you will accept from me. Deeds that are acceptable in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only do good deeds, but such good deeds that will make you happy, and that will you will be pleased with. So number one, you ask Allah, when you are enjoying good, comfortable bounties, and you are living a good life, and a life of prosperity, firstly ask Allah to give you the ability to be grateful. Number two, ask Allah to keep you steadfast on acts of piety and righteous deeds which are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, بِرَحْمَةِ وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And oh Allah, by your mercy, admit me and enter me, include me amongst your righteous slaves. So one is, despite doing the good deeds, one is to do the good deeds. One is to have the good deed accepted by Allah. But even if the good deed is accepted by Allah, it still does not have the potential of admitting you into paradise. Understand that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, none of you will go to paradise because of your good deeds. None of you. It is not your good deeds that will take you to paradise. So Sahaba was surprised that, Ya Rasul of Allah, what is it that takes us to paradise? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it is the sheer mercy of Allah. It is the sheer mercy of Allah that allows you entry into paradise. So a person might think, then why do good deeds? If my salah, my Quran, my tilawat, my fasting, my zakah, my charities, all of these are not going to be a means of my entry into paradise, then why do them in the first place? They are a means of earning the mercy of Allah. What's going to take you to paradise? Allah's mercy. How do you earn that mercy? By showing your commitment to Allah, by devoting your worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by making yourself deserving of the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. So one is, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you to perform good deeds. Allah must accept those good deeds, but at the end of the day you acknowledge before Allah that, oh Allah, wa adkhilni bi rahmatik. See there? Oh Allah, include me through your mercy. With your mercy, adkhilni bi rahmatik fi ibadika salihin. Include me amongst the pious and righteous slaves of yours in the akhirah, who will be admitted into Jannah. Now look at the humility here again. Look at the humility here again. That he is a Nabi of Allah, but what is he telling Allah? Oh Allah, include me amongst the pious. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was asked that, who is the most pious person? She said, the one who considers himself to be the greatest sinner. And who is the biggest sinner? The one who considers himself to be pious. The one who considers, the moment you feel that I am pious, or I'm on a high level of piety, and I start looking down at others, and I have this holier-than-thou approach when it comes to others. And this is something we must be careful about during the month of Ramadan, because there are two types of pride, and I'll conclude on this. One is takabbur and kibr. One is the pride that comes into a person's life and into a person's heart because of wealth. Because a person has a lot of wealth, and he has a lot of luxuries, and Allah has blessed him with a lot of money and material things of this world, there's a pride. There's a certain amount of pride that comes with that. That's one type of pride. The second type of pride, which is known as ujb. What pride is that? That is the pride that creeps within into your heart because of your piety. This pride that comes into your heart, where you start questioning the ibadat of others, and you start questioning the acts of worship of others, and you start looking down at others because Allah has blessed you with a certain level of piety, this pride is far, far, far more worse than the pride that creeps into your heart because of the material things of this world. So look at how the humility, that, oh Allah, we are not pious. They are anbiya. But they think, oh Allah, we are not pious. Include us amongst your pious servants in the akhirah, so that we can enjoy paradise with them when they are admitted and entered into Jannah. With this, we conclude this series where we have been discussing the different du'as and supplications made by the different righteous personalities mentioned in the Quran, and also the Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam. Hopefully through this we can enhance the quality of our supplication and our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from this we have learned the true etiquette and the prophetic respect that the Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam had expressed when invoking Allah and then supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving forward, inshallah tomorrow night there will not be any program, but now every odd night, there will be a program starting from the 21st night of Ramadan, which will be on Thursday, a brief program after Taraweeh Salah, where we will randomly discuss certain verses from the Quran, not necessarily related to dua, but some verses that will perhaps be recited in the Taraweeh Salah. We will discuss a few minutes, discuss one or two verses of the Quran, thereafter engage in some dhikr, some durood ala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and conclude the program inshallah. This will happen on every odd night, every even night there will not be any program. May Allah Ta'ala reward you all. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.